This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind Original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. I have not sat in this chair in a long time. Everything feels off. Everything feels broken. Anthony's camera is super jacked up. This is literally not the same chair as the last time I was here. I think that chair is the one typically I sit in. But we're back in studio. Not in Indianapolis. Not in my home studio. I am here. Anthony's just threw a pane of glass. And I haven't put you on camera yet. There's something we gotta figure that out. And the Commanders have traded for Deebo Samuel. So that's cool. That's nice. That'll help the old wide receiving core. And we're going to talk about it throughout the show, including with you, coming up in just a few minutes at 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. You can start lining up on the phones now because we are going to dive in to your reaction to the Deebo trade and what it means for the Commanders moving forward. So what I will say about the Deebo trade is I think it's a good idea. This is a player who is a perfect fit for Washington's offense if he has anything left in the tank. And if he doesn't, then the cost of a fifth-round pick is just frankly not that much. And $17 million of cap space in a season where you're not really that worried about your cap space. You have 80-plus million. Yes, you have a lot of guys to re-sign. But at the end of the day, there's only so many there's only so much money you're going to be throwing around. You also have a basically $16.5 million hit that you can avoid by cutting or trading John Allen. And if you can somehow get a fifth round pick, or frankly, even a sixth, because again, Washington's picks are all at the end of the round. If you could get a middle or top half sixth round pick for Deebo or for John Allen, you would basically have traded John Allen for Deebo Samuel into the same exact roster space, still have $80 million to play with, and not lose any draft picks. Yeah, I would say that's probably a good idea. So on the contract side, I would just, Over the Cap has written this up because there's been a bunch of stuff floating around, and this is a little bit convoluted, but this is the situation with the contract, and then we'll get into the actual football of it all since that's probably what most people care about, but I don't know. Some people really like the contract stuff. So, Washington, this is from Jason Fitzgerald at Over the Cap. Washington, who is salary cap rich and can afford to take on some contract risk, will pick up Samuel's $17.55 million salary. Samuel technically has an option in his contract that is due in mid-March, but my assumption is the 49ers will either renounce the option or rework his contract prior to the trade to remove it to avoid having to take on the proration from the option as dead money this year. If the option is not utilized, Samuel's cap number for Washington will be $17.55 million. If the option is included, then his cap charge will only be $5.2 million this year, and the remaining $12.344 will be put into void years starting in 2026. Given the Commanders are expected to have over $80 million in cap room, it would make sense just to take the hit now. So, in other words, there are two different paths here. Washington and San Francisco will work together on this, and it probably is beneficial for both to just have all of the potential money reworked into a base guaranteed salary. And instead of this being this option bonus that can be split up and some of it counting next year or even 2 years from now, if you want to spread it out with void years in the contract, it is better, and some dead money left in San Francisco, it's better for Washington if San Francisco says that option is not picked up, but it's actually reworked into the base salary for Debo. And then it counts fully on Washington's in 2025. So San Francisco's still going to have to deal with $31 million in dead money, but that is the cap situation. This stuff is... Some of these contracts are pretty simple. Some of these contracts are brutally not simple. And this is one that is kind of complicated. But ultimately, $17 million for Debo Samuel. That's what the reporting has been for Washington. So then that leaves to what he is as a player. If Debo can stay healthy and not return to 2021 Debo, because that guy's never coming back. The all-pro 1,400-yard receiver with a couple hundred other yards and some touchdowns on the ground. That dude never came back for San Francisco. He was one of one at his absolute athletic prime before his body had taken the beating that he has put it through in the NFL the last couple of years. But in 2023, he was still a very effective player. Just shy of 1,000 yards, averaged over 6 yards a carry. Big part of a San Francisco offense that had a lot of other really nice pieces. George Kittle still playing well. Christian McCaffrey was insane that year. In 2023, he was an MVP candidate. And so if you can get that version of Debo Samuel, he fits tremendously well in this offense because the things that he does well, they do. These quick screen passes. You want better options than De'Ami Brown and Luke McCaffrey and Olamide Zaccheaus and Austin Ekeler running those screens? Great. I present to you Debo Samuel. You want a guy that can run some quick slants, catch the ball fairly reliably. He's not an amazing hands guy, but like he's a legitimate receiver. This isn't a running back. He's a receiver that can play running back, not a running back that's playing receiver. That order is correct when phrased as he is a receiver playing running back, who can play some running back, I should say. But after the catch, he's incredible. Impossible to arm tackle. He's so big. He's so strong. His contact balance is insane. And he also, in terms of the receiver stuff he does well, some of these deep digs where if you can get Terry taking the top off the defense and then run Debo in a space underneath, even like moderately deep down the field, 15, 20 yards, he runs those pretty well. And he's been pretty productive on those. So some of his numbers over the middle of the field are really good. And I think that is a huge part of the potential success for the Commanders. He also has been very, very good in zones where he finds ways to sit down in space. And then he's very hard to tackle. Man-to-man, not going to help you a whole ton. They still need to get some more guys who can win against man-to-man. This is not replaced, now you don't have to bring back Zach Ertz. Yes, you do. I would say you definitely still need to bring back Zach Ertz. And they need guys the rest of this offseason who can win in man-to-man situations. But for an offense that is exceptional because it's designed around getting players into space, Debo Samuel is a fantastic pickup. The other thing that makes this offense really special outside of Jaden, right, and outside of the players in it, schematically, philosophically, what makes this offense special is its versatility. It's its ability to say, we have Austin Ekeler and Zach Ertz and some other pieces that can sometimes line up at running back, sometimes at receiver, sometimes at tight end. And how you treat them can create advantages for us. And there is perhaps no piece in the last half decade of NFL football that is more versatile and more difficult to understand how we should treat that player as a defense than Debo Samuel. Because you can play him and Austin together and you can line up like you have no running backs on the field. Or you can line up like you have two. You can line Debo up single back. You can line him up in the gun. You can line him up in the slot. You can line him up outside. And all of those places, you can create different mismatches. You add that to the physicality, and he is, in many ways, a perfect fit for the Commanders. So why is he available? Well, he's had some issues with his weight. Had some issues staying in shape. He hasn't missed a ton of games, but the production has fallen off. Part of that last year, though, the worst season of his career, was that he had pneumonia in the middle of the year. So that's not really like a conditioning weight issue, anything like that. He came firing out of the gate last year, and he had a great training camp. But he then got pneumonia in the middle of the season and tried to play, couldn't do that, and just wasn't right for the rest of the way, on top of some other nicks and knacks and some weight issues and things that did crop up. But you get him in a contract year. You get him with a guy in Adam Peters who knows him. You get him in with Dan Quinn, who's as good of a motivator and also a manager of players and people, right? The way he managed Zach to make sure he stayed healthy throughout the year. They can do that kind of stuff with Debo. And if Debo has anything left in the tank, I think we're going to find out this year in Washington. Because if he doesn't, if Debo's just cooked, then that's kind of how it goes. He made his money. He ran his face through people for about 7 years. And he'll go, all right, I just can't do this anymore. And Washington will be like, you can't do this for us anymore. We're not paying you anything. And maybe another team takes a flyer. Maybe, is there a way this is Debo Samuel's last season in the NFL? If he's truly cooked, which happens sometimes with like the running back type of guys who run through people for a bunch of years that are super physical, and then that's just too many hits on their body and they're not as quick, not as sharp, can't stay healthy. Yeah, that's a risk. If you gave up a fifth-round pick and, you know, decent receiver money for that over 1 year, it's worth the risk. Because if he's not cooked, which I would guess he's not, because 2 years ago he was good and last year was super weird for everybody with the 49ers, then you might have just gotten a guy that's going to help you way more in the next year, maybe even two, than a fifth-round pick probably would. Yes, Adam Peters before has turned fifth-round picks into George Kittle, but the guy they took in the fifth round last year basically got a redshirt year. So for a team that's trying to win right now, I think this is a very smart move. It is worth the risk. And thus, off we go into the Debo Samuel era of Washington football. What do you think? 301-230-0980. 301-230-0980. Taking your calls on Debo to DC next on The Hoffman Show. 301-230-0980. Is the phone number here on the Hoffman Show on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We are streaming live on YouTube as well at the Team 980. And taking your calls, as I just said, and Anthony, while we're waiting for calls, we got to fix your camera, bro. We can't. I appreciate that our new bosses. Oh, that's better. If we just get it. Oh, can you get it back down a little bit more? You just got a lot of room above your head right there. That's more like it. Just can that whole screen just tilt a little bit? Yeah, there you go. Is that better? Now you look like you.
Okay.
You didn't look like you when you were hungry.
That's fair.
By the way, I messed myself up today. I did a hard workout this morning, went straight into the show with Tony after like a protein shake, and then basically didn't eat until like 3:30. I walked in to work today. Anthony probably see like my eyes sunk back into my head.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't pretty. I eventually had a little fig bar situation on top of the lunch that I had. Currently having some dill pickle snacks as well. I think I need to replace some of the salt content. So we're getting back to being humane. And Anthony's camera's back to now looking like, I mean, the weird thing was it was also like way super zoomed in, which I think was something that I had to fix on my end. But yeah, it was
not good.
Not great. Also, I'm still not used to the fact that you're on the other side of the screen now.
Oh yeah, I got to go look at the stream now.
So here's looking at you, kid. If I look at Anthony in real life.
Looking at you?
Yeah, it does. It does look like you're looking at me.
Oh, okay.
Which you are. Hey, buddy. All right. Again, the point is that you can call us at 301-230-0980, and then we don't have to do clown material to vamp for time. Oh, someone. They just hung up.
They did indeed.
I thought we were getting going on the calls.
I thought so too.
Let's see what the YouTube chat says. Really nothing. We got people watching for now.
Talking about Debo?
Yeah. I mean, I know people
Do you get the sense that a lot of fans are excited about the move?
Yes. I also get the sense there's a lot of other fans that aren't.
I'm sort of kind of in the middle, I'm not going to lie.
All right, talk to me. Football therapy. You're not Linnell, but we can do it.
I understand.
Step into my office.
Oh, hold on. We got our call back.
Oh, okay. All right. Someone's calling. But then we'll get Anthony sick. I kind of get both. It's just why the perspective, I think, is important. Like, I like the deal. I like the move because I think ultimately the price is worth the risk. But I don't have misgivings. I don't have a false sense of security that, like, Washington's wide receiver problems are now solved. They still don't have enough dudes to fill out the roster. Nevertheless, do they have the appropriate pieces around Terry McLaurin? Signing Deebo Samuel or trading for Deebo Samuel is not going to stop me from taking basically anybody that I would have otherwise taken in this draft. That is, if somehow Matthew Golden, the wide receiver from Texas who ran on an official 4.29, if he's available at 29, like, I'm still taking him at 29. Maybe the one guy that it would give me pause on, there's this kid out of TCU that's kind of like a Deebo starter kid, Anthony. Well, now I probably don't feel like I need that. But maybe if you think he's a Deebo starter kid and you think he's a better long-term solution than Deebo, like, sure, go get him.
Yeah.
But ultimately, like, the taller receiver, the speed receiver, like, they have Deebo. He's his own weapon. He's his own dude. He's his own guy. He's his own piece of this offense. But their receiver, like, traditional receiver stuff, like, if they want to bring back Noah Brown on a cheap deal, fine. OZ, Jameson, fine. If Diami's not too crazy expensive, fine. Nevertheless, going and chasing the Darius Slaytons and you know, I'm probably not going after, like, Davante Adams. There's only so many of the, like, hey, you've been a top guy personalities I want in one room. But especially at 30 years old when I am trying to build something sustainable, even if Deebo is more short term. But yeah, that's kind of where I'm at. Does that help your middleness, or are you still kind of stuck?
I mean, the trade has happened. I'm going to grow to love the pick, but.
That's not that. You have to love it. You just have to accept it for you don't have to. You don't have to do anything. You're a grown man. You can do whatever you want. But I would say it's not necessarily about loving it. It's about saying, like, this shows to me that we're doing stuff. Adam's awake at the wheel, in case there was any doubt. They're definitely pushing some chips in to be good immediately. And this is a move that pushes them in the right direction, but doesn't solve all their problems.
Yeah, I mean, that's more so like where I'm thinking anyway, because I understand we have Terry and I understand we have Luke. Those are the only two receivers, you know, that we have signed on the contract right now. So addressing wide receivers is definitely going to be important this offseason, but I just don't know how much of the needle, what is his name, Deebo moves, you know, the needle in that receiver room, just because I don't think he's all that good of a receiver. I understand how good he is, you know, after he has the ball, what he can do after the catch. But it's sort of kind of like we have to scheme this guy open, like, every time.
Yeah, but they already do that.
Yeah.
Like, all they got to do is run their offense, and he's going to be put in spots in that offense that they already do. Like, I just saw a stat on NFL Live. Jaden and Caleb actually were tied at throwing the most screens outside the numbers in 2024. Imagine if some of those screens are going to Deebo versus the guys they went to. That's all you got to do. The jet sweeps. Some of them for Diami went well, but, like, what if you had the best guy in the league the last 5 years doing it? And for all of the decline of Deebo, and that was real last year statistically, he was still 12th in the NFL in yak last year.
Yeah.
So he can still get it that way. 301-230-0980. Let's go to Todd. Todd, get us started on the phones here on the Hoffman Show.
Hey, Greg, thanks for taking my call. Listen to you whenever I get home for work. Thanks.
Appreciate that.
Yeah, so for me, you know, I remember, you know, the bad years and the good years. And for me, this is an indication of what it's like, as we've said before, to have grown-ups running things. What you have is essentially somebody who has 1 year left on their contract. And you have a need for someone who can do the jet sweeps, the screens, and all those types of things. And you basically get him for what equates to where Washington is picking, which is more like a sixth-round pick. So for me, this is a very low-risk, as you said, high-reward option, you know, for the team. And I think that, like I said, it could – I mean, even if it doesn't go well, then you know, and he's kind of he's cooked, you know, after all, like you said, after all the physical way he's played, and then so be it. But I think this is worth a shot.
I totally agree with you, Todd. Thanks for the call. Really appreciate it and appreciate you listening every day as you get home here on the Team 980. I think that's the thing, right? The risk, the $17 million, I'm going to say it means nothing, but it means next to nothing because they have so much cap space. And they needed to add juice to the offense. And getting bona fide playmakers is hard. And they're not going to become available unless they're either a supremely high cost or there's an element of risk. And the chances that you're going to get a guy who can be as good in 2025 as Debo in the first round, or in the fifth round, I beg your pardon, is slim. Like, fifth rounders, yeah. Can they turn into great players? Of course. They're scattered all over the league. And Adam Peters has taken a couple of them. But mostly fifth rounders are guys that are special teamers. It's like, oh, let me go get a linebacker who can play special teams or a safety that can play special teams. They did that in undrafted free agency last year. They went and got Tyler Owens as a UDFA, and he turned into a monster on special teams last year. And we'll see if he ever becomes anything on defense. But if 4 years from now, Jeremy Reeves is retired and Tyler Owens becomes the new Jeremy Reeves special teams captain for the next 10 years for this team, sick. And so I think the other thing is the fifth round pick in terms of getting the right amount of draft capital in this draft. And a good question from Ellison on YouTube in the comments said, how many more picks do you think we'll have after this draft is over? Because right now we only have six. Remember, John Allen's on the trade block. You could get back to seven, and that's your average, right? Or your baseline, one pick for each round. They've already upgraded their third round pick. Obviously, they lost their natural selection in the Marshawn Lattimore trade, but that they already had an extra third rounder in the Jahan trade that is actually Miami's third round pick. So they've upgraded their third. They're now down a fifth. And if they can get, you know, either trade back in this draft, you can wind up getting seven or eight players in this draft, or you can trade another player away. And maybe you can get something late in this draft, and John Allen is obviously already on the block. So I tend to think they will draft between six and eight players. And if they're short one, that sucks. But your plus one last year, kind of off of the UDFA deal with not only a special teamer in Tyler Owens, but you got a heavier rookie class with Colson Yankoff as well, the undrafted free agent tight end who was a good special teamer for them all throughout last year. And so they can probably do that again this year. So that's the benefit of having guys who are, you know, good scouts. 301-230-0980. Now the phone lines are popping. We'll get to more of your calls next. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We are streaming live on YouTube, too, at the Team 980. Anthony, earlier we had to reset your camera. I was looking up at NFL Live. I don't know where this bite from Sean McVay is from, but Sean needs to get his camera situation. I know he's got a lot of cool game balls behind him, but Sean, your head can't be in the bottom third of the screen. Right now they're playing Matthew Stafford highlights, but yeah, what are we doing?
Wow, that is really, really bad.
Someone needs to tell Sean to just pull his laptop down.
Yeah, tilt it. Good gracious.
Come on, guy. You're the young coach. It'd be one thing if it was like Bill Belichick. By the way, you see Belichick and UNC is going to do Hard Knocks?
No, I did not see that.
Yeah, they can't get anyone to do the Joe Shane bit, obviously, in the NFL, the offseason, which was really good television and bad for Joe Shane, apparently. Apparently, Belichick and the UNC program is going to do it.
Wow.
I'm pretty intrigued.
A lot of people will be intrigued.
Yeah. Anyway, 301-230-0980 is the phone number. 301-230-0980. Let's go get some more opinions on the Debo Samuel trade, Washington acquiring the 2021 All-Pro. Let's go to Stanley. Stanley, thanks for calling. You are on the Hoffman Show.
Hey, Craig and Anthony. How you guys doing?
Doing well, man. Thanks for asking. Hope you are as well.
Okay. I got a couple of them. I'm going to tell them quick, and then I'm going to take it off the air. Look, on the Debo, love it, man. Love it. I just think Debo would kind of sort of in a situation where he was Davante Adams, didn't want to be in 49ers anymore. He could have came back in a few of them games he was, quote-unquote, hurt in. Just didn't want to be there, man. He checked out. So I think he's where he want to be. I think he's going to show out. Now, the next thing, I'm going to take it a little slightly off topic with the 49ers. Who would you think is the better quarterback, Brock Purdy or Kirk Cousins? Sean, you know the Shanahans love them to Kirk Cousins. Do they pay Purdy or do they pay Kirk Cousins, which is cheaper at this point?
Well, thanks for the call, Stanley. Appreciate it. I'll let you take it off the air. I definitely think that the Commanders are going to, the Niners are going to pay Brock Purdy. Like, that's pretty obvious at this point in the proceedings. How much, I think, is the question, but like, that's a deal that's going to get done. And if they don't sign, or like, they could also technically, I guess, try to acquire Kirk, assuming that the Falcons put him up on the trade block. He's not currently actually available, but could you get him on the trade block for a late round pick? Sure. Something probably even less than the fifth they just got from Washington. Sure. That's an option. They love Kirk in terms of what Kyle has run in the past, but also Kirk really struggled to move last year. So I don't think that a play action heavy, hey, you got to get out there and get the stretch handoff play done is exactly what they're looking for. Let's keep it rolling, though, with thoughts on the Deebo Samuel trade at 301-230-0980. Let's go to Jason. Jason, thanks for calling. You are on the Hoffman Show.
Hey, Craig, thanks for taking my call. First, I got to say, it's 2025. No more Kirk talk. We're over that, please.
Kirk can be talked about, just not here. We're good on that.
Yeah, there you go. Anywhere else but here. I'm very indifferent about Deebo, and that's not to say that I'm against it or love it. It doesn't feel like it moves the needle much. I've heard a lot of people say, well, we've got this awesome 1-2 punch now. I don't know. This team hasn't had a number two for a while, and it doesn't feel like it's gotten figured out. A fifth-round draft pick is really nothing, so that's great. But in the same respect, it really says a lot about what the 49ers thought of him, and it indicates to me that he's more of a project than he's worth. And I know Quinn and Peters have the formula for, you know, getting a lot out of guys, but it just, how many projects can you take on like that? I don't know. I'm very indifferent. I'll be happy if it works out, but if it doesn't, I mean, it's not going to be any kind of surprise.
So, Jason, I think that's a great take. There's a couple of things that I think are worth pointing out, though, which I'll let you take the points off the air, if you will. Thanks for calling, man. I appreciate it. And I think Jason, in terms of like the emotional investment, is right. Like, this isn't all of a sudden Commanders have an amazing 1-2 punch. There's still more they need to do in that receiver room. He is a very unique, to use Jason's word, project, because he needs to get the ball in certain ways, but like, those ways exist within Washington's offense. I think that's an important point. You got to run, as Logan calls them, the slammer screens. You got to run these deep digs. You got to, you know, get some of the RPOs and the orbits and all those. Those are the ways Deebo gets the ball. The ways this offense functions work for Deebo Samuel. In terms of what the 49ers think of him, they were going to cut him because they are at a different point in their build. Deebo, like, one, things that run its course. Sometimes it's just time to move on. Sometimes, especially in football where things are really, really intense, the 10-year marriages of players and organizations, especially when the organization hasn't changed coaches or most of their front office personnel, those are hard. And if players have to change their role and who's the number one and I'm not the highest paid, and like, it's a lot of personnel dynamics, not to mention it's a math problem. The Niners need to create some cap space, and what they like, the amount they have to pay Deebo is different than when Washington has to pay Deebo, because they have the prorated signing bonus money. So he's more expensive for them to keep than it is for Washington to take on. They're taking on two very different values. What it really shows in a fifth round pick is not necessarily what the Niners think of him. It's what other teams think of him, because I bet you that if Houston offered a fourth, because that was the other team that was reported in the mix last Friday, if Houston was offered was offering a fourth rounder, I think Deebo Samuel would be on his way to Houston, not on his way to DC. They didn't do that. They took the fifth. Maybe Houston was just offering a sixth. And so the league is telling you, hey, we'd rather wait and fight it out for Deebo on the free agent market. And Washington was like, Well, he's not going to get to the free agent market if we don't trade for him because Houston's got this offer on the table. What's it going to take for us to beat it? It's only a fifth. Okay, let's do it. Houston, do you want to match that? No. And then it gets done. Or whatever other teams were involved. I'm not privy to those negotiations, nor do I have the sources to talk to that were. That's just what's been reported. So it's really not that Washington or San Francisco doesn't value him. Just their marriage had come to a time where it was time for a split. Debo will be welcomed back as they split amicably later when they honor NFC Championship teams, and he might have his number put up in the Ring of Honor. Like, we'll see. But ultimately, for Washington, they get him at a relative discount compared to what he was getting paid because of how NFL contract structures work. Last one for the moment, and we'll take more calls next. So if you're on hold and I'm not about to say your name, don't go anywhere. I will get to you. But let's go to Emery. Emery, thanks for calling. You are on the Hoffman Show.
Hey, what's up, Craig?
What's up, Emery?
What's happening, man? Hey, listen. First of all, I feel like Adam Peters needs a standing ovation for turning Ridgeway and Jahan Dotson into Debo Samuels and Latimer. Second of all, Debo is kind of downtrending, so I think putting him in the third receiver role versus the second receiver role will probably be more beneficial to Jay's development. Now, there are a lot of people you could kind of pick up with that second, so if we're not done after Debo, then I think this is still a good investment. I think we could pick up Keenan Allen on free agency. I think we could probably pick up T-Mac if he falls. I don't think he's going to fall, but he could fall as far as what the draft is trending right now. Another outlier is I don't think the Steelers like George Pickens. So if they end
Hold on. Emery, are you serious?
Listen.
Emery, did you pay attention at all to what made the Commanders good last year?
Yes.
Okay. How many knuckleheads did they have?
Well, when you have a good supporting staff and they're getting touches, they don't really be as much of a knucklehead as they were when they're the only diva on the team.
No. The way you have a locker room full of no knuckleheads is not to be like, oh, we have other guys who are non-knuckleheads that can manage the knuckleheads. And you don't bring in a knucklehead. And George Pickens is so far beyond knucklehead that I would not... I personally could get paid for the Commanders to have George Pickens next year, and I'd be like, he's not worth the headache for me to have to talk about. That's how far away I want from George Pickens.
Hold on, Craig. Because now you're talking about knuckleheads, and Debo was clearly a knucklehead.
Debo's not a knucklehead. Very, very different. Debo's super competitive. He's emotional. It's very, very different. George Pickens quits on his team.
George Pickens is a knucklehead. That's a little bit of a double standard. The man smacked the kicker.
No, he smacked the long snapper after the kicker couldn't make it, and the kicker stood up to him. That's a difference. Or the long snapper stood up to him. George Pickens will just quit in the middle of games. He is so unreliable. Debo is never not going to try. George Pickens will not try. That's not tolerated here. That ain't going to be how that goes.
How about this? Another option. Why don't you take that second round pick instead of drafting another receiver? Go ahead and see if you can get DK. I just need somebody who's able to take the top off the defense. Terry isn't necessarily going to stretch the field. Debo definitely isn't going to stretch the field. So we need somebody who's going to make the play.
Terry McLaurin is not going to stretch the field?
That's not his forte.
What is Terry McLaurin's forte?
He's more of a possession receiver than he is a speed stick.
The guy with 4.3 speed who had a bunch of 60-yard catches in the air yards in the air last year? That guy?
That guy. I mean, if you look at any other quarterback that we play with, he didn't have that production that he had.
Because
with
the quarterback stuck. Emery. I'm going to give you a homework assignment, okay? Your homework assignment is go watch football. That's your homework assignment. Because I'm convinced that you didn't watch football. We'll take more of your calls next. Nick Wagner, ESPN.com, joining us at the top of the hour, 5 p.m. here on the Hoffman Show. Just quick cleanup on Isle Emery. Anthony, that was unbelievable. What was dumber, George Pickens or Terry McLaurin isn't a deep receiver?
Ooh.
The correct answer is yes.
I was about to say both.
So I look, FTN Fantasy does, like, their stats engine's the best in the business, so much so that I paid for it. So in terms of ADOT, average depth of target, Pickens is at 13.7. DK is at 13.7. Terry's at 13.3. So Pickens and Metcalf are tied for 10th. Terry is 15th. That's average depth of target. And in terms of the air yards per game, let's see. It's so funny. Like, Bucky Irving has -9 because he caught so many screen yards behind the line, or screen. Screen pass behind the line of scrimmage. Terry is 11th in the NFL last year, average over 91 air yards per game. And in terms of percentage, air yards share, the percentage of teams' total air yards that a receiver has. Terry was 5th. So it's not like he was then surrounded by other options. This is the dude who got the ball down the field. He was incredibly successful. He was a Pro Bowler. Just the film is the film. The numbers are the numbers. The eyeballs are the eyeballs. And I have no idea where any of those three things entered Emery's brain.
I don't either, man.
Okay, let's keep it going then. 301-230-0980. Let's go to Marcus. Marcus, thanks for calling. You are on the Hoffman Show.
What's up, Craig?
What's up, Marcus? Coming live from the wind tunnel.
I'm not in a wind tunnel. Well, I guess it kind of sounds like it. No, I'm live in a 5.0 right now, man. But I wish you guys had like an opening. And no disrespect, Anthony, I love you, man. But we gotta screen these callers because it's amazing what they come up with sometimes. Anywho, this Deebo Samuel situation, right? From a Commanders fan standpoint, I can somewhat see the hesitation some fans have. But if you look at it from an NFL fan standpoint, like, for one, we've talked about needing to upgrade our wide receiver to. For quite a while. And I know a lot of fans hear it, and a lot of fans, you know, listening, they take it in. So signing Deebo Samuels it seems like this is the upgrade, this is the wide receiver 2 upgrade. But to me, this is just an upgrade to the wide receiver room as a whole, right? You don't understand, like, the amount of doors this move opens. Like, this is a guy that now defenses have to really plan for. You know what I mean? This isn't just a wide receiver. Like, you have to plan for your jet sweeps. You got to plan for screens. You got to plan for, you know, quick ins and quick outs, like things like that. Like, this is a legit threat that we have. And if we don't sign another receiver that fills that wide receiver 2 spot, he can be that. If we do sign another receiver that can fill that wide receiver 2 spot, then this is just a gadget. Well, and I hate to minimize him as a gadget guy, but, like, he's the top tier of gadget guys that we have that can pretty much do it all. So,
but the thing is, Marcus, to your point, like, it's a gadget guy in an offense that needs gadgets.
Exactly. I was looking, and I love Acho. I think his name is Emmanuel Acho, whatever. I can't remember which one, but the one that's on TV. I love him sometimes, but sometimes his takes are, like, kind of crazy. But he made a very, very good point, and he was like, this is a down off guy for Jaden Daniels. You know what I mean? You have a Deebo Samuels, and, you know, you throw a screen, that's a down off for Jaden Daniels. You know, you can give him a jet sweep, that's a down off for Jaden Daniels. And the more you can preserve Jaden Daniels throughout the game, the better he's only going to get better in those clutch moments when you really need him to step up. And Deebo Samuels does absolutely that. So I do not understand the hesitation. Like, this is an amazing pick that you didn't have to dig too deep in your pocket for. Like, I don't know, man. I don't know.
I mean, look, he was at a down year last year, but if he comes back up, it's going to be fine. And if not, you just move on.
Even with the down, if we have his down year last year, he's still the number two receiver on the Commanders.
Well, I think at that point you're probably having a different discussion of a problem. But I hear you, Marcus. I got to keep it moving. Thanks for the call, and good luck wherever the hell you are. We got sirens. We got wind tunnels. We got all kinds of stuff going on with Marcus. Let's go to Noel in Chicago to wrap up the hour. Noel, thanks for calling. You are on the Hoffman Show.
Hey, Craig. Good talking with you again.
You too, and Noel, and your perfectly quiet background and nice, clear phone. What an absolute joy this is. Anyway, keep going.
It's a good way to close out the calls, right?
Indeed.
It's clear and pristine. Look, I love the fact that we have Deebo on our team, okay? I love the fact that we have a great playmaker. He obviously had a down year last year. The only thing that I am curious and somewhat concerned about is I'm okay with the fact that we have him, but like, we don't have a young developing wide receiver unless there's so much belief in Luke, who's still learning the position. So again, like, we have free agency. I don't know if we're going to continue to add to the wide receiver room there by bringing back Alameda, by getting everybody else that we had last year, but I wouldn't mind trying to develop a young wide receiver also. So if they want to do it with Luke, that's fine, and I hope that he continues to progress. But, you know, we're also a candidate to trade back with our pick. But if the wide receiver from Mizzou is there, or if Ibuka is there, if Luther Burden, that's his name, if either of them are there, I'm running up to the podium. Again, like, I love that we have Deebo, but that's just a concern that I have because we don't have a wide receiver that Jaden can grow with, because with Deebo, if he doesn't play to his potential and then we decide to let him go after 1 year, even if he's serviceable, Terry's going to be due for another contract as well. And priority number one is getting Zach Ertz, who's obviously like almost close to his mid-30s. So
no,
that's my only kind of concern. But I mean,
well, that's,
you know,
the thing, right? Is
just something to keep that in mind.
100%. Sorry to cut you off. You actually said the exact thing that I was hoping that you would, which is like, let's just keep that in mind. But like, this doesn't mean they're done. This is the first move they make, not the last.
Right.
And I think that's the thing that everyone has to remember. Noel, I always appreciate you. Thanks for the call. Is like, they're not done. And the investment, nor who Deebo is, prevents you from doing any of the things that Noel or anybody else might mention or is thinking of. You can take a receiver in the first round. Absolutely. You can take one in the second round, third round, fourth. You take a receiver whenever you want. You can spend more money at receiver. Like, Deebo, at the cost that you get him at, the $17 million, like, okay, that's a decent chunk of change. The fifth round pick you give up is nothing. And I expect them to do that. They're going to bring back some of these guys, but I think Noel's larger point is correct. You have to start getting some younger guys in that room. You can't just say, we've got Jaden Daniels, we'll make it work every year. And obviously, you're hoping that in year two, Luke McCaffrey, who was a quarterback like 5 years ago, that he can be a guy that develops with Jaden in the long term. But that you got more than that. You got more pop. And whether it's Golden or Burden or one of these guys in the first round who falls, Ibuka, the kid out of Ohio State, who's just like a pro's pro type of receiver, super reliable, not super special in any way. But Golden, who's a 4.29 guy, like, he is special in terms of athleticism. You can take any of those guys. And there's some guys later in the draft that are interesting too. You're just probably not going to take a gadget guy because now you got your gadget guy. But that's short term. We'll see. 301-230-0980. Appreciate all the calls there. We will talk much more about Deebo Samuel throughout the rest of the show, including with ESPN.com's Nick Wagner, who covered him in San Francisco, next.